ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Thank you everyone for kindly receiving me. Yesterday in Dubai, a devotee told me that one of my godbrothers had attended a Rath Yatra here in Abu Dhabi, and that devotee, my godbrother, was somewhat upset that at the Rath Yatra there had been a lot of chanting of Radhe Radhe. Now, it's not my business to blame anyone, but I'd like to discuss this point for our understanding. Why would a devotee become upset if there's chanting of Radhe Radhe? A few years ago, because of this actual issue, the GBC, the Governing Body Commission, which is the body that Srila Prabhupada set up as the ultimate managing authority of ISKCON, commissioned a Kirtan Standards Committee to investigate and suggest guidelines for Kirtan within ISKCON. Guidelines according to what, principally according to what Srila Prabhupada instituted and desired, and particularly a need was felt for this, well, on various issues, but the issue came to a head at one Rath Yatra in England, where devotees were repeatedly chanting Radhe Radhe, and one ISKCON sannyasi who was there requested them to not do that, and they didn't care, and it created some disturbance. So, the Kirtan Standards Committee, I'm a member of that Kirtan Standards Committee, which is mostly by email, researching Prabhupada's instructions. Researching means what's recorded in writing. And also, on this topic and on many other topics, Srila Prabhupada gave many verbal instructions. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously instructed us, Nam Nama Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamitah Smarane Nakalaha Itadrishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mama Pidur Daivam Idrishami Hajanina Anuragaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously instructed that Krishna, you have many names, various names, in which are invested all your transcendental potencies, and there are not hard and fast rules for chanting these names. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm so unfortunate, I have no taste for them. Elsewhere in the Srila Prabhupada translated this as Durdaivam, my bad fortune, he said, I have no taste. Na anuragaha. Srila Prabhupada translated this that I commit offenses while chanting, and therefore I don't have taste. So when we say there's no rules, that means that there are not rules according to when we do yoga or yagyas, perform yagyas, there are many rules to be followed. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, are discussed the Shikshashtaka prayers, in which each of the prayers is given, and then there's a Bengali commentary on that. So, or translation come commentary. So, for this verse, Nam Nama Kari Bahuda verse, of the second verse of Shikshashtaka, a Bengali verse which extrapolates or further explains this verse goes as follows. Kayate shuite jata tata namalai desha kala niyam nahi sharva siddhi hoy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that even when eating, even when lying down, in any situation, if one takes the holy name of Krishna, if one chants the holy name of Krishna, even without any consideration of the place or such rules and regulations, one can attain full perfection. This obviously doesn't apply in yoga or yajna or various karma kanda procedures. You can't perform a yajna lying down, you know, lying on one side and putting the or putting the ghee in and feeling a little hungry and pop a few peanuts in while you're doing the yajna. Or in yoga, well, there are lying down asanas also, but it's not the only asana. And while you're doing yoga asanas, one cannot eat. There are various rules to be followed. So these rules are not necessary to follow while chanting Harinam, but nevertheless, we do generally follow, because if we do lie down when we're chanting the holy name, then we generally fall asleep. Or if we close our eyes, we generally fall asleep. So the point is that the holy name is independent of any material consideration. But at the same time, there are some material considerations that will, if by following them, that will help us to chant better. And there's also consideration of nama aparadhas. If one is offensive in chanting the holy name, then bahu janma kare jadi shravana kirtan tabu tanna pai Krishna pade premadan. One can chant the holy names for many, many lifetimes and not get the result of chanting, which the actual result, which is the treasure of love of Krishna's lotus feet. So there are considerations. Srila Prabhupada, there's one point that even though it said there are no hard and fast rules, still it's not that it's totally without any consideration. You can just chant whatever you like, however you like, whenever you like, and it's all the same. There are considerations also. Now, we are members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, at least those who are initiated, as it's understood that they have been accepted into, those who are initiated within ISKCON, it's understood they're accepted within Srila Prabhupada's family. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON. He insisted that on any official stationery, or if there are any boards, just like you'll say, temple, maybe in different places, Chicago, Los Angeles, wherever, outside there'll be a signboard, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Everywhere it should say underneath, Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada was insistent on that. He didn't say the only Acharya. Some people think that after Srila Prabhupada there should be no more Acharyas, but that's not what Srila Prabhupada taught. But he is the founder Acharya, which means that Acharya in ISKCON means one who follows Prabhupada. That's the system. We have the list of Acharyas. There are many, many Acharyas in Parampara, but the principal ones are listed. So when we see there's Krishna, Brahma, Narad, Vyas, Madhva, and then so many Acharyas down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Rup, Raghunath, Jiva, Sarup, Damodara. Their names are not all mentioned. They're all the primary Acharyas of our Sampradaya. Krishnadas, Kaviraj, Narottam Das. It should be the same thing. same thing. Bhakti, then recent acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gorky Shodas Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada. So it should be the same message. Not that it's a different message. That all of a sudden, it all changed. If it changes, then yoga nashta parantapa. Then the science is lost. So basically it's the same science, but it may be presented somewhat differently according to time, place, and circumstance. And time, place, and circumstance in this material world is always changing. Nevertheless, we don't expect that everyone and every teacher will teach exactly the same as Prabhupada in all details. But nevertheless, that Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and he wanted that the standards that he set be the basic standards for everyone in future to follow. So an Acharya in ISKCON should mean one who is a faithful follower of Srila Prabhupada and teaches as he taught. Now Srila Prabhupada, apart from teaching one other point I should make in this regard, it's a little tangential to the subject of Radhe Radhe. Some people promote Srila Prabhupada as the Sampradaya Acharya. There's one website, which I don't very much recommend that you go to, called the Sampradaya Sun, in which they promote Prabhupada as the Sampradaya Acharya, which is it's a mistake. The Sampradaya is coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, in starting ISKCON, didn't start a new Sampradaya. He continued the Brahma Madhva Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And Sampradaya Acharya means that he should write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, that all the Sampradaya Acharya, the four Sampradaya Acharyas are recognized for having done that. And of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our Sampradaya Acharya, but he established the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and later Baladev Vidyabhushan gave the Govinda Bhasha. So Srila Prabhupada, to call him the Sampradaya Acharya means to separate him from the previous Acharyas, which is a mistake. We can say he's the prominent Acharya in the present day, but not the... And in America recently I saw there was a photograph of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and it said the lotus feet of the pure devotee. And that I also thought that was strange. The pure devotee, as if Prabhupada's the only pure devotee. But Prabhupada's mission was to make everyone who came in the shelter of his lotus feet a pure devotee. Therefore he's called Prabhupada. At his lotus feet there are many Prabhus. So there are many funny ideas that Prabhupada is the pure devotee and no one else is or can be a pure devotee. It becomes something like Christianity where, you know, they say Jesus was perfect and, well, we're not as good, so we'll do all sins and Jesus will deliver us. So these are various misunderstandings. Just that one word, the lotus feet of the pure devotee, just the word the means unique. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is unique in so many ways, but his aim was to bring us to the standard of pure devotion. Nevertheless, he is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and he gave various standards that he expected to be followed, including those on kirtan. Some of them were given in writing, some were given verbally. One point that is complicates the issue on kirtan on various other issues is that it's quite marked that Srila Prabhupada in the early days of ISKCON, he was much more, we could say, liberal in allowing all and encouraging all kinds of things, and later he became more strict. In the beginning he just wanted to encourage everyone just to take part, and he encouraged people even to play all different kinds of instruments. Later on he said just mridanga and kirtan, mridanga and kartel. So, but our understanding is that in the beginning Srila Prabhupada was very liberal to encourage people to come in and start this movement, and later on he started to give the standards that by which we could be more authentically linked to the tradition, and not just linked to the tradition, but Srila Prabhupada, he said that the kirtan, we should not be too much concerned with musical style, therefore that we just get diverted by too many musical considerations, whereas the main thing is to chant the holy name for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke about this a lot, because he was in Bengal, and where there's the kirtan is developed as a folk art, you could say, highly developed with elaborate mridanga styles, elaborate mridanga beats, and often professionals will play with violins, harmoniums, and all different kinds of instruments. But the very fact that they are professionals means that they're not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. Or the tendency is that they're not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. So the point of the kirtan, which is to glorify Krishna, becomes diverted. Srila Prabhupada very much stressed the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He said that in kirtan, at least in Arati Kirtan, even where we sing other songs like, but especially in the morning we sing Sri Gaur Vashtaka in Mangal Arati, and in Sandhya Arati we sing the Gaur Arati Kirtan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which Srila Prabhupada said that at least half the time should be for chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada stressed this. Now, one reason for forming this Kirtan Standards Committee is that many chants have been introduced to ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada himself didn't introduce. And some of these were introduced even in the presence of Prabhupada, and he sometimes tolerated them, but at the same, he didn't stop the devotees chanting. Sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But at other times he made it clear what he liked and what he didn't like. And in fact, there was an essay written by Hari Keshwami, who was, at that time he was Hari Keshwami, who was Srila Prabhupada's secretary, that Prabhupada had told him some specific standards that he wanted instituted in the society. So that essay is very important for understanding kirtan standards. I'm not going to speak on all the issues, there are many issues. But for instance, devotees would sometimes chant in kirtan, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, over and over again. And I was personally present in a kirtan in Mayapur in 1976, where the kirtan leader, who Srila Prabhupada had called the Emperor of Kirtan, was going on and on chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Prabhupada sent down a servant tell him to chant Hare Krishna mantra, and said, saying that we're not the Hari Bol Sampradaya. In Bengal, there's a Hari Bol Sampradaya. There are many Sampradayas. And they just chant Hari Bol. 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 They go on and on like this. That's that. Hari Chand Thakur, Faridpur. Abnito Janena, Faridpur. Upper Sampradaya Hache. Hari Bol Sampradaya. Paschim Banglayo. There's this Hari Bol Sampradaya. So Prabhupada said not to do that. And sometimes devotees would chant. Prabhupada himself didn't introduce this chanting Hari Bol. Although in the Gauriya Math, which Prabhupada came out of, it's sometimes chanted, once or twice, not over and over. Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. Prabhupada also didn't introduce this. In in one of his purports, Prabhupada writes that we should chant the full Panchatattva mantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhatta. Srila Prabhupada said this is the proper way to show respect to the Panchatattva. Another servant of Srila Prabhupada, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, has written one book about his memories of being with Prabhupada, in which he states that Prabhupada one time said, there was a kirtan going on, they were chanting Nitai Gauranga. Prabhupada said, they can chant Nitai Gauranga, I will chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. And then after Srila Prabhupada, so there were certain things that Prabhupada, he might not stop the devotees, but later on he would express that it's not so good. Many things have been introduced after Prabhupada left. Devotees, they hear something here and there in Vrindavan or in some here and there, or they make something up. But actually we should follow the acharyas, what they have given. There are many ways we can chant the holy names, but we have been specifically given ways, particular songs given by self-realized acharyas. And particularly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the kirtan that we should chant. Now regarding Radhe Radhe, you may say, well, what's wrong with, that's great. What could be better than that? Well, Harikesh Swami recalls that Srila Prabhupada had been training him in proper kirtan standards, and Prabhupada had him, Harikesh Swami, sing the Mangalarti kirtan in Prabhupada's quarters. So Harikesh Swami did that. Prabhupada had instructed in Mangalarti just to chant Gurvashtaka, which is sometimes improperly called the Samsara prayers. We're not praying to be in Samsara. Gurvashtaka. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and Hare Krishna, and nothing else. So, Prabhupada had instructed this, but Hare Krishna Swami said that somehow or other, even having been instructed like this, having at the end of the kirtan, he started singing Jaya Radhe, and Prabhupada looked at him like he was going to burn him up on the spot. And Harikesh Swami noted that here is Srila Prabhupada, the great pure devotee, in Vrindavan, disapproving of his disciple chanting Jaya Radhe. Srila Prabhupada also gave a disciple of his the name Jai Radhe, but he didn't approve that for general chanting. Now, why might that be? Well, one reason is that generally the certain sahajiyas, they like to go on chanting Radhe, 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 as if they have some direct access to Radharani. Prabhupada noted that even Shukadeva Goswami didn't directly mention her name. It's very easy to chant Radhe Radhe and think that I'm some great Maha Bhagavat or something like this, but actually we have to surrender to Krishna. Another thing is that if we really want to please Radharani, then we should chant the name of Krishna. On the other hand, if we want to please Krishna, then we should chant the name of Radha. As Narottam Das Thakur says, that Krishna nama gane bhai radhika charana pai, Radha nama gane Krishna chandra. That by chanting the name of Krishna, we attain to the lotus feet of Radha, and by chanting the name of Radha, by singing the name of Radha, we attain Krishna chandra. So therefore, we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which is a prayer, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, which means Radha, please engage me in your service. This is the perfect way of addressing both Radha and Krishna. If we only address Radha, what does that mean? We don't want Krishna? Radha herself wants to be with Krishna. So chanting the Maha Mantra means we're worshipping Radha and Krishna together. That is perfect. Not just Radha, Radha, and forget Krishna. Then it becomes not pleasing, either to Radha or Krishna. They want to be together, and our position is as servant. So this is the perfect way to chant. And if we go on chanting Radhe, Radhe, Radhe like this, then it's more like the Sahajiyas, Prakrita Sahajiyas, who they go on chanting like this. But this is not given by our acharyas, that we emphasize so much on Radha and not on Krishna. Of course, we hear that some of the topmost gopis, they are very partial to Radha. They favor Radha over Krishna. But that's at their level for the furtherance of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But ultimately, the aim of all the devotees in Vrindavan is to please Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, he knows best of all what Radha wants. He's taught us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We don't find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Radhe, Radhe. So it's better to stick to what Prabhupada gave us. We may think, well, okay, this is very nice. It sounds nice to me. That's a disease, to think it sounds nice to me, therefore I should do it. But rather we should know that that's why we have to learn from the acharyas what to do, how to practice Krishna consciousness in a way that will be beneficial for us to advance properly. Now we may say, well, some of the gurus in ISKCON, they also chant so many things. Well, that may be, but again, that's why we have the Kirtan Standards Committee, because guru in ISKCON means he should follow and instruct his disciples to follow what Prabhupada gave us. And if Prabhupada gave specific standards, we should follow that. Again, there may be some differences in some minor points, but when Srila Prabhupada has specifically given some points to be followed, then we should follow that. So, that's my point here. So, please Radha and Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in a mood of service, in a mood of submission, with great faith in Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is not cheating us out of Radha Bhakti. Rather, he's given us the process to attain that. But it's not a cheap method that we can very easily just jump into Ras Leela by some imagination. How much surrender and dedication is required to enter that plane of utterly selfless service? It's not attained simply by some imagination or just imagining oneself to be on the topmost platform. So, Hare Krishna, if anyone has any questions or comments, anything they'd like to say. If you feel that something I said is wrong, or you'd like to protest about it, or whatever, please bring it out. Let's discuss this topic. Yeah, please. That's what I'm asking you to do, is to ask questions.
So Maharaj, as you came and I introduced you in the congregation, so we have actually, following this tradition of introducing the guest, and after the introduction...
You have this tradition of saying...
Yeah,
that's come up in the last 5 or 6 years or something. It's not introduced by Srila Prabhupada.
So we say, welcome by Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Yeah. So should we say it, Maharaj, henceforth?
Well, Hari Bol is literally telling someone to chant Hari. And although that's nice, I would think that according to Maryada, or the normal rules of etiquette, it would be more appropriate if I told you rather than you told me. Isn't it?
So can you say Hare Krishna twice?
You can say Hare Krishna, or you can welcome as someone comes in, you welcome them with kirtan. But I don't see that Srila Prabhupada was ever that let's welcome him with a Hari Bol or Hare Krishna or anything. To when Prabhupada came, devotees would perform kirtan. That was the welcoming. So many things are coming up.
Is the kirtan committee coming up with a standard kirtan CD?
Standard kirtan CD. Yeah, I guess that for the proper tunes to be sung.
But there is a morning tune and the evening.
Morning tune, evening tune. Proper. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do. Many points. Instruments means mridanga kartal. Now it's become very popular, this African drum, which completely drowns out the sound of the mridanga. It makes a very passionate sound. It's not dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's paraphernalia, as is mridanga. So that's popular because, I guess, people, it's in the mode of passion, and people, you know, they like to bang, ba 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 ba. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan is madhur, madhur, madhur bhaje. So that's one issue. There are so many issues. Yeah.
What about Nrsingha prayers?
Nrsingha prayers. What about it?
How important is chanting Nrsingha prayers?
How important? Srila Prabhupada told us to chant after arati. So we chant that. One point is that on that there are so many points. If I tell you them all, then we'll be here till Mangalarti. But we generally, everyone sings Narasimha Madim Sharanang Prapadye. Go look in the book, see what it says. What does it say? Does anyone know? That's different to what I just sung. What's in the book? What's in this is from the Nrsingha Purana. So we. What's different? You don't know. It's Nrsingha. Nrsingha Madim. This is the Shastra. We can't just change it. Somehow or other, everyone, it seems, thinks that they know better than Vyasadeva. And they sing Narasimha Madim. But actually, in the Nrsingha Purana, which we're singing, it says Nrsingha Madim. You can say it's a minor point, but why should we change what's given in Shastra? Actually, that was previously not considered a minor point. That was considered a very severe violation to change anything in Shastra. You're speaking in English, is it? Bahut bara point hua. Point, how do you say point? Vishay? No, but in this context, I suggest Vishay. Bahut bara Vishay, is it?
One question. After Narasimha Arati also,
and after what Narasimha Arati? That's another thing. I mean, in Mayapur, there's deity of Nrsimha and they do Arati. But in most places, it's recital of Nrsimha Stuti, which has become called Nrsimha Arati. Why? I don't know. If there's no Arati, then why do you call it an Arati?
And
Tulsi. Yeah, arati is offered to Tulsi, yes. I mean, just try to understand what's going on. We're not just, you know, it's Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada presented it as a science, and that's how it's presented in Shastra. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. We find the word Vijnana again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshamya sheshataha. Jnana vijnana triptatma kuta stovijita. We find the word again and again. So it should be understood properly, not just that, well, you just do again, you do anything, whatever you like, however you like, if you like. If you don't like, then don't bother. It's all feelings. Bhakti is all bhav. Then why did Rupa Goswami write Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with so many rules and regulations? Why are there any acharyas who come to teach us what to do and what not to do?
If we think like that, then pravritting cha nivritting cha janana vidura suraha. Na satyam na pichacharo, na shocham na pichacharo, na satyam teshu vidyate. That's one symptom of the asuras mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. They do not know what is to be done or what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor proper behavior, nor truth is found in them. So this idea that you just feel whatever you like and do whatever you like, this is actually demoniac. It's not bhakti. Bhakti means we should follow the rules. Then?
And then, they say, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Hari Bol. Then also we should stop.
Jai Prabhupada, Hari Bol. Well, there's... Prabhupada never introduced these things, actually, to sing Jai Prabhupada, Hari. And sometimes at the end of the kirtan, they go on and on and on. Jai this, Jai that, Jai everything they could ever possibly think of. But increasingly in the last few years, many devotees have gone back to the standard that Prabhupada gave. If you listen to Prabhupada's kirtans, he sings the pranam mantras, Vandeham, Sri Guru, Sri Then he chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pancha Tantra Mantra. Then Hare Krishna and finishes. He doesn't sing Jai this, that, everything else. Hari Bol and then something else which he made up. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Gurudev, Jai Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada. And people make up things as they go along. And Prabhupada didn't do that. So you can if you want, but I don't. Prabhupada didn't. You can do anything you like, but as you're asking me, I'd say that stick to the simple and don't make up things as you go along. Yeah.
Narasimha Stuti song, Saint Arati
Cholbe ki cholbe na, scent arti, gandha. Shall I speak in English?
Yes.
You can understand English. Yeah, okay. Well, this is another issue. There are so many issues. This scent is offered on a cotton swab during the time of Narasimha Stuti, after Mangal Arati. As far as I understand, it's not part of traditional Gauriya culture, but what it's done in some temples, specifically some disciples of Srila Prabhupada noted that this was done in the Radha Govinda temple in Jaipur. And they asked Prabhupada if this could be done, and Prabhupada said, yes, it can be done. And that's one of the items which to be offered to deities is scented oils, not alcohol. Don't use this alcohol perfume. But there are so many attar, they call. Not attar. It's not making chapatis. Attar. There are so many traditional. There's, there's kas and chandan and kura and so many things. So, roses. There also. Not, that's actually not so traditional. Anyway, so Prabhupada said this can be introduced. Somehow it got introduced after Mangal Arati. It can be done at any time, but somehow or other devotees started doing it after Mangal Arati. Actually, it can be done any time. It doesn't have to be done at that time. It's nice to do, to offer that. Which flowers can be offered? Now we're getting into a huge, unlimited discussion. Which flowers can be offered and which, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a general description. Flowers, some which are particularly pleasing to Krishna. Tulasi Manjari is most pleasing. In general, those flowers which are pleasing to look at and particularly nicely scented, they're very pleasing to Krishna. So we have just like Mogra, Malika, Chameli, these are pleasing to Champa, these are very pleasing to Krishna. Rose is not indigenous to India, but that's obviously a very beautiful flower. So scented flowers, this Jabaful,
or what's that called in Hindi? I don't know. In Bengali, Japa Fulki Bale.
Chapa.
No. Chapa is very nice. That's for offering to Shiva and Kali. That red one?
Hibiscus
is called in English. So that's not very good. Don't offer Datura flowers. I was in a room in ISKCON Delhi with one sannyasi godbrother, and he asked the devotee to bring some flowers for... He was going to do puja. They brought in some Datura flowers. So, flowers which are fresh, not all worn out, and bokul is very nice, which is sometimes called parijat. That you won't get here. Actually, I saw in Dubai once some bokul tree over near the Abra. I think they cut it down now. Where we were walking this morning, there used to be a bokul tree. It falls down early in the mornings. Parijat, it's called. Parijat, it's called. The Bengali is bokul. So that's very nice. That's the only flower, if it falls down, you can offer to Krishna. And you have to put cloth in the morning. It falls down before sunrise. And then you pick it up and off. So anyway, there are so many things. Old flowers, they're not nice to offer. Fresh should be fresh. Yeah, anything else? No, really fresh flowers means you pick them and you offer them. That's fresh.
One time we receive flower and we keep it in the fridge and we...
Not so good. What can you do? Miserable Kali Yoga. Now you think you're very advanced, living in the 12th floor of some building, like the pigeonhole. But previously everyone had a little land and they would have nice fresh flowers they can offer to Krishna. Now you can't, even if you... Only if you're a millionaire, if you live in Abu Dhabi, of course a dirham millionaire is not much. But then you can fly in some fresh flowers by helicopter from somewhere. But even then it won't be as fresh as what you get. You just take from the garden and offer to Krishna. So the poor man in the village has got better facility than the rich man in the pigeonhole in Abu Dhabi. All right, anything else? So shall we chant? You have time? Or you all maybe we should finish because you all have to go to work, take the kids to school tomorrow morning, all this. What do you think? No, everyone's stunned.
My book is there on the altar actually. It's Dr. Siddhanta Vaibhav. If you so please, can you speak for 5 minutes about this
book? Speak about the book, 5 minutes. Well, if you read it, it'll take you some, a long time. A lot more than 5 minutes to read it. One of the first, when it first came out, got released. After a few days after it was released, I got a phone call from Vrindavan, from Mahanidhi Swami. He got the book, he read the whole thing in 4 days. I told him it took me 24 years to write it. And he read the whole thing in 4 days. So, well, did you read it? Actually, we should all read Prabhupada's books. But Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write books also. Writing is also kirtan. That will go on. If we're actually inspired in Krishna consciousness, then we must perform kirtan, which means by singing, speaking, and writing. So that must go on. I got a comment from one of my godbrothers. He sent me an email. We were having some discussion on some other topic. Burijan Prabhu. I don't know if you know him. Maybe you know him from his books. So... he moves in some of the most intellectual circles within ISKCON. He's generally with very senior devotees who come to Vrindavan and he associates with them. And He sent me an email that I got the book. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I heard from several devotees, and I'm just thinking what kind of devotees he associates with, that it had, revolutionized their outlook on Krishna consciousness. And the particular point that is the essence of all of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings, which he himself said, is his drig drishya vichar, to understand who is the seer and who is the seen, that we are to be seen by Krishna. Generally, we do our activities of bhakti and we're always thinking how I'm going to make advancement and how I'm going to enjoy the ras. But the whole point is that we should act in such a way that Krishna will see us. And this is elaborated on. And there's so many points. And it's an important book, there's no doubt. It will help us to understand better who is Srila Prabhupada? What are the teachings of the Acharyas? As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself said, parampara jano bhalo mate. We should know very well what is parampara. That means we should know what are the teachings of parampara, who are the individuals in the parampara, who is that great personality to whom Srila Prabhupada ascribed all his success in preaching in all over the world. Prabhupada would always say, I have no personal credit in this regard. It is all due to the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. Who is that person who could inspire Srila Prabhupada to do what he did? So, generally we have the pictures on the altar and we don't really know that much, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a devotee is rarely seen in the world. Hardly a few of his stature may come in the world in a day of Brahma, not just another guru. You see, I'm a guru in ISKCON. There are so many gurus, but I'm a guru. There's so many gurus in ISKCON. By carrying the shoes of the acharyas on our heads, we can be gurus. But very clearly, some are highly empowered, intimate representatives of intimate associates of Radha and Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is an extremely powerful acharya. And that's why, even though this looks like a very big book, myself, who was somehow granted the mercy to have the service of compiling this, I can understand this is only just an introduction to him and his teachings. It's a little look at the great ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta. He and his name are non-different. I explained that in the beginning. Just like you saying, there's some baby, okay, what name? Give this name, that name, some name. But he is Bhaktisiddhanta. It's not just that, it's just some name. That's his eternal name. Shivarshabhanavi Dayata Das. That's his eternal name, Bhaktisiddhanta. Saraswati. He is Saraswati. Shuddha Saraswati. There is Shuddha Saraswati, who is the internal potency of Krishna, and Dushta Saraswati, who is the goddess of materialistic knowledge. She oversees that. So he is Shuddha Saraswati, who inspires devotees to glorify Krishna. Saraswati Krishna Priya Krishna Bhakti Tar Hiya Binode Shei Shei Vaibhav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that Saraswati is very dear to Krishna. Krishna Bhakti is her heart, and she is the Vaibhava or the glory or the there's no English word exactly. You all know what it means. She is the Vaibhava of, or maybe you don't know what it means. Maybe you should learn what it means. Actually, all the words we have to relearn from Saraswati. We learn them from Dushta Saraswati. We should relearn all the words from Shuddha Saraswati. What is the actual meaning of all these words? What is the meaning of Bhagawan, Bhakti, Vaibhava, Seva, Guru? We should learn all these words. That's another topic. He wanted to make a new dictionary. Whatever people understand by the words is all wrong. They have to relearn all the word, the meaning of every single word from him. This one professor wrote to his magazine. He had the magazine Gaudiya. So it's all philosophical articles, not highly philosophical. So one professor sarcastically wrote that when you send me your magazine, you send me your dictionary too, because you define all the words differently to how everyone else defines it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that my dictionary is the lotus feet of my guru. What a guru also. He was apparently illiterate, but Gorky showed us. Actually, he wasn't completely illiterate. I mean, he dictated letters. I mean, it wasn't that he was a fool of any sort. But anyway, there's so many things you can read in there. I'm not going to tell you the whole book now. You can read it.